Welcome to Virtual School Assembly. I'm your host, Tyler Christensen. I'm a productivity speaker, author, and classroom teacher. Here at Virtual School Assembly, I interview Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, Olympians, speakers, and educators who share messages of inspiration, education, and hope to better prepare you for an ever-changing and uncertain world. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started. Welcome back to Virtual School Assembly. Today, our guest is Keith Lightfoot. Keith is a speaker, author, songwriter, and a teacher. He's a fellow of IT Professionals of New Zealand, a member of the New Zealand Association of Positive Psychology, and a qualified adult tutor in communication, literacy, numeracy, and digital fluency. He goes throughout the country and throughout the world, really, to speak to different groups. And we're so pleased to have him on the show today. Welcome to Virtual School Assembly, Keith.
Good morning, Tyler. How are you doing? Well, good morning here in New Zealand, of course, and definitely not good morning where you are,
right,
in the United States of America. So we're just beginning our day, and it's extraordinarily cold this morning. It's probably about 4 degrees outside. Now, that's not 4 degrees of yours. That's 4 degrees of ours, 4 degrees centigrade. I'm not quite sure what that relates to, but it's
no idea.
It's chilly. I'm warning you, that's chilly. So it's a pleasure to be here. I mean, I've looked at your stuff, or I've read what you're doing. I spotted you on LinkedIn. We formed a relationship. We communicated with one another. We've had a chat this morning, and it's just a pleasure to be here. I think what you're doing is extraordinary.
Thank you. Bringing
people together and chatting on the show and allowing people to tell their story and to uplift people around the world, you know, as a result of that.
Right.
Now, well done, you.
Thank you. Now, Keith, I know you have a few different stories, but today we want to talk about the idea of unlocking the learning. What does that mean to you? Can you kind of explain what you mean when you say unlock the learning?
Absolutely. So you mentioned amongst that long list of things that I do that I'm an adult tutor. Now, what that means in real terms is that people go through school. They go through your school, some of them, of course. They go through school and not everybody pays attention. They may have a bad experience with a teacher or with one of their classmates or themselves or in their home situation or with their self-esteem. Who knows? And they don't always take it on board, and they end up in the workforce. They might leave school early, end up in the workforce, in a job that they enjoy, but they then carry that lack of academic feeling through their whole life. It actually knocks them around really big time. And you'll often see people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, when you talk to them about their life, they'll say, gee, I wish I'd paid more attention at school. It's quite a common saying. It's amazing. So we get those people. The government of New Zealand and other countries is investing a great deal of money to change the academic qualifications or the levels of learning for literacy, numeracy, communication, digital fluency for the people who didn't make it at school. Why is that? Right. Why is that? It's because as a country, unless we can lift those levels, then with the advancement of technology and compliance and health and safety rules and reading and comprehension, people just can't keep their jobs. If people can't keep their jobs, there's more unemployment. If there's more unemployment, there's more government costs and the country spirals downwards. Also internationally, if the country can't come up to a certain level, then we can't compete internationally with technology and AI and things that are advancing. So there's a lot of money going to this, and people like myself and other people around the world are investing in these adults, and it's phenomenal. So unlock the learning. So I have a background in motivation, inspirational speaking, positive psychology, and then more lately, a background in adult tutoring. And so as part of this adult tutoring, we've managed to combine the two things together. So I work with a lovely lady called Sarah, and so we work together, and we have over the years designed a methodology that actually unlocks the learning that the people like yourself put into them in school. And we're able to measure that, measure the qualification change in a really short space of time. Now, this is actually an extraordinary thing. So what happens is that there's actually a PhD in this for somebody, maybe you. There's actually a PhD. I truly believe that. Because what we've discovered is that people who were sitting in a maths class were actually paying attention, even though they decided they weren't paying attention. And so when we get a hold of them and have a chat to them, instead of punching maths into them, obviously there's some things we do with them. Instead of punching maths into them, we change their self-belief, their self-worth, we reawaken them in the spirit. And believe it or not, they actually change. They change. No, there's a measured change. Let me explain that. Whenever someone comes to an adult literacy, numeracy class, they have to do an assessment that's set by the government. That assessment measures where they are. I think you call it SAT scores or whatever you call it over there.
Yep.
So we have a measurement in this country that is recognized throughout the education system. So they come into the class, and as adults, anywhere from 18 through to 65, they come in, of all ages. They come into the room, and they do this test or assessment, which is totally confidential. They don't get to see it. Their employer doesn't get to see it. The other people in the room don't get to see it. The government gets to see it, which is great. And we get to see it as tutors. So they fill in the assessment. It goes and gets marked, comes back, and we can see where they are academically in New Zealand. There are only six levels in New Zealand, by the way. So six levels you can change. And typically it takes 1 to 2 years to change a level. Is this still making sense? Are you keeping up? Keeping up? Am I not going too fast? I've been known to talk far too quickly. So if someone changes from level 2 to 3, it is significant. Like that's a year's tutoring, or sometimes 2 years online, right, or 3 to 4, or 4 to 5, or 5 to 6. Just massive, massive change, you know? So they come into our room, and we look at this, and we do the assessment, and we see where they're at. And then we run our program. Now, our program is only for 40 hours, 1 week. It's not actually done in 1 week. It's done in bursts, maybe 2 or 3 hours a week. So we get them for 1 week of their life, one working week. And 94% of the people that come into our room change their literacy level qualification in New Zealand in 40 hours.
That's phenomenal.
40 hours.
Yeah.
It gets worse. It gets worse or better. 97% change their mathematic ability, their numeracy ability in 40 hours on a New Zealand measured scale in 1 week. And it's not because we taught them maths. It's because we made them believe that they could do maths, and we unlocked the learning and we opened up those pathways. They were sitting in that class, taking it in, and they've blocked it off with every test since, or every self-belief, because they didn't believe they were good at maths, and we unlocked it in 40 hours. And hallelujah, we are excited when that happens, I tell you, Tyler. Because I tell you, when 97% people in your class change a level in New Zealand in 40 hours in mathematics, man, it's something to celebrate. They go away feeling better. They go away feeling so excited. They don't actually know their actual score. We can tell them if they want to, individual scores. But they know when they go away that they're better at literacy and numeracy. They just know, because they know how they felt on the assessment. And they know how they feel about themselves. It's the most wonderful, rewarding, fantastic thing to do. We are excited about this. Yeah, I'm trying to contain myself, but, you know, too much early morning coffee can cause this kind of outburst of enthusiasm. Sorry.
Yeah. So Keith, you've teased us now by telling us how successful your program is. Now we need to get into some strategies and tactics.
Oh, really? Well, listen, we're not going to cover 40 hours in the space of a few minutes here.
No, but give us one or two. Give us one or two things that our kids can do if they want to improve their literacy so that they don't get to adult tutoring because they learned it in school. So what's one or two things that we can give them today that they can be working on now to improve their literacy?
Well, let me go back.
Okay.
Let's go back. How's that? Exactly. I like that. This is like back to the future, which is entirely what we're doing with these people. We're taking them back to the future, aren't we? That's what we're doing. Because if they truly believe that they didn't do well at school and they carry that for their life, you know, we've had people come into our room, Tyler, that are in their 50s and 60s that are holding down senior positions in a company and they literally can't read a book. Now, they spend a lot of time covering. There's a lot of emotional and mental processing going on in their head to make sure that nobody spots it. And it's really tough on them, mentally tough on them, to keep that going. They become extremely good at listening, extremely good at having a photographic memory, because they have to, because they can't read the signs on the notice board. And so it's actually frightening. So let's go back. I need to go back to Mary. We're going to have to go to Mary right now. And Mary's come to the fore, right? So I went to school like everybody else, and I don't know that I paid a great deal of attention. And it's not because I didn't want to, I just didn't. And so that's fine. So then through a whole series of events, circumstances, destiny, fate, call it what you like, I ended up as a computer programmer. I sat at a computer aptitude test, and apparently I was a genius. Who would know it? So that's okay in terms of computers. So then way back when, I ended up in the computer industry. So I left school, ended up in the computer industry a long time ago, and suddenly had to read volumes and volumes of technical information on computers, which wasn't what I'd done at school. Suddenly, I was thrust into the world of mathematics without wanting to be thrust into the world of mathematics, and I knew I wasn't particularly good at it. And now I was surrounding myself with different people. I was now with people who were of a different academic level and belief about themselves. So you are who you are in 5 years' time by the books you read and the people you associate with. I started changing without even knowing, started changing. So I became a nerd, a geek, a dweeb, call it what you like. Before geeks were even invented, that was me. And it was fantastic. I had a great time with the industry and had a wonderful time in IT. At some point, I became super successful, the top of my career ladder, and had my suit in my company car, and I was just full of myself, I'm sure of it, and doing my thing, and everyone was reporting to me, and I was kingpin. And so that was okay. And then my mother, whose name is Mary, she was a delightful woman, lovely woman. So she smoked her whole life, and this is not against smoking, for smoking, she just smoked her whole life, and that's that. She smoked her whole life. And so she retired at 60, because you could retire at 60 then and get the pension. She retired at 60, got lung cancer, and died at 62, which is not uncommon. 18 months to 2 years after retirement, people can often die, as you know. So this was a bit of a surprise to all of us. Now, remember, I was Mr. Super-Duper Successful. So I used to go and see her in the hospital. And she was in the hospice. We have things called hospices here. I don't know if you do or not, but that's where you go to die. And so if you've ever seen anybody who's dying, someone you love, who is literally a skeleton with a skin, looks like it's painted onto their face. I mean, you just wish they would, you know, die, even though you don't want them to die. So they took her false teeth out and she was lying there with the skin painted on. It was just the most horrific thing to watch. So I used to go and see her, and she got to the point where she could only whisper. So she'd lie there very still. They could dab her lips with lemon and water. And she could just whisper. So I'd go there in my suit and say, "Hi, Mum, you know, how you doing?" And she'd go, "Kate, Kate, yes, Mum, yes, Kate." And she'd whisper something to me. I said, "Okay." And I'd go home, go to work the next day. Mr. IT was great, you know, Mr. Super Duper. So that was okay. And then one night I went in there after work, and she, and I was talking, I said, gotta go, goodbye. And she said, Kate, don't die with your dreams inside you. And then she died that night. Final words from my mother, the mother who I love dearly, says to her son as her final words, "Keith, don't die with your dreams inside you." Tyler, that threw me into a loop. Like a major loop. I don't know what that meant. Did that mean she was dying with her dreams inside her and hadn't fulfilled her life? And now she was seeing her son also being Mr. Idiot? What does that mean? I don't know what to do with it. We cleaned out her house a few months later because everything in the house reminded my father of her. And we found a book on the shelf and I said, "What's this book?" And he said, "I don't know, your mother's always reading it." I'd have never read it. And so it was Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. I'd never heard of such books. So in terms of what your students can do, I never heard of such books. I didn't know self-help books existed. I was in a world of IT, doing my thing, Mr. Successful. So I read it. It blew me apart when I read it. What is this? Where's this all come from? Are there other books like this, I wonder? So I went off on a crazy, wild, positive psychology, motivation, inspiration tangent. And a lot of people got hurt in that process, actually. Because I went off like a missile with no guidance, and I had the afterburners on full, and a whole lot of people got incinerated. I can't go back on that. That's just the way it happened. So that took me down that path, and then I realized there was a whole lot of stuff to do with self-worth and self-belief that had hampered me and many people that I knew in my life. That there were things we thought we weren't good at that we could change by changing our self-belief about ourselves, changing what we say to ourselves primarily. Stop saying things like, "I'm no good at maths," or "I'm no good at reading," or "I'm just so clumsy," or all those things, you know. "I'll never be able to learn the guitar." What a ridiculous thing to say. But that's true. You'll never be able to learn the guitar if you constantly say, "I'll never be able to learn the guitar." How's that going to ever happen? So we're down that path. And so in terms of tidbits for what we do in the program. We've incorporated, you know, 30, 40 years of my learning now and working with this other lady called Sarah, who's been this teaching for a long time. We've incorporated these strategies into our literacy and numeracy and causing people to change their self-talk and their language and their belief about themselves, and working with them in the area of literacy, numeracy, digital fluency and stuff. On the way through 40 hours, 2 to 3 hours a week, where for the first couple of weeks, I don't want to come. Who would want to go to an adult literacy class when you didn't like adult literacy, numeracy at school? Who wants to go? Nobody. But they come. They come because their employer says, you go, you're sacked. Like, okay, I think I'll go. And so they go, and after 3 weeks, we can't keep them away. We can't keep them away, not because we're great, but because they're starting to believe that they might be great, that they have something, they have some potential, there's something in them that no one else can do, that they've been put on this earth to do something, and maybe they have got a shot. Maybe they can change all those things that have been holding them back. And so, you know, we work with them and work with them. And some of them go away and start getting out self-help books. They start changing their belief. They start watching less television. They start listening to less of the news. They start reading less newspapers. They start stop believing everything on social media. They start watching some motivation uplifting movies instead, or reading my book, Bless Their Hearts. Who knows what they might do? And so that's what we're doing. We're changing it by changing them rather than, so instead of teaching them, we're unlocking the learning that you and other teachers, thank you, have so systematically and beautifully put into them. We're unlocking that and releasing it in a very short time frame with a long-term benefit. What a long answer. I tell you, I can give a long answer to a short question. I'm warning you about that.
Well, that's great. That sets this up really nicely. You know, I asked for, you know, what you do, and obviously there's a lot that goes into those 40 hours, but I like that it starts with that self-belief and the self-talk. When you were talking about Think and Grow Rich, I think about some of the books that have changed my life that opened up things to me, and it was that self-help literature. And so as a fifth grade teacher, I make sure that I expose my students to that. So as a class this year, we read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And for bedtime stories with my 14-year-old this year, we read Good to Great. And we go through some of that best literature. And for some kids, that's going to be really challenging. It's going to be really tricky. Now, the good news is there are audiobooks that you can listen to. There are podcasts. Yes. There are YouTube channels like this one, Virtual School Assembly, and TED Talks and things that will help you with that self-talk. And so I want to turn this back to you, Keith. As you've thought about the books, we've already talked about Think and Grow Rich, but what are some of the other books that you've read that have impacted your life and helped you to unlock your own learning?
People say to me, Keith, what's the best book you've ever read in terms of self-help? I get that question a fair bit.
Sure.
If I speak at a high school, that's often the question that will go up. What's the best book you've read? And I answer without hesitation, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. That's great always book. Always my book of choice.
Yeah.
It's a title in today's market that sounds weird, but when it was written, it didn't sound weird. But when people see that title and it says How to Win Friends and Influence People, they think it's some kind of marketing trick, and it's not.
Right.
I mean, the book is genuine from the heart, and it's listed, I believe, currently as the 17th most influential book ever written on the planet. Hmm. It's still selling millions of copies, and it was written in 1930. I mean, it's got to say something. So right. I read that book. I remember I read that book, and I felt like throwing it against the wall or punching myself in the head or something. Like, why didn't I know this stuff? Why didn't somebody tell me about how to build relationships and right. how people operate? And it's just the most phenomenal book on personal relationships and communication. So that's the one that really impacted me. Think and Grow Rich put me down a particular path. I got to understand things like the law of attraction and self-affirmations and stuff, which, of course, have been regurgitated in every book since.
Right.
Books like The Secret came out. All these books are the same message. I had a question from a student last Tuesday, there you go. We were talking about all this, talking about social media and the news and fake news. And how do you know what's real, Keith? Where do we go with this, you know? And so I said to him, look, because we've got a stack of books we have in the room as well. You're welcome to take any of those books out, put your name down against it. And so they said, well, how do we know? You've just told us everything's not necessarily real on the internet. Where do we go for information that might be real? I said, if you look at the books that are here, you will discover that the same message has been regurgitated for thousands of years. It's the same message. I mean, it's just thousands of years old. And so, you know, this stuff's everywhere, including the Bible. It's there coming forward. And so I said, you'll go there and you'll find that the way to proceed in life and to be good to your fellow man and good to yourself is all written down in those books, how to get on with life, how to be successful financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, whatever. It's in there. Okay. So then at the end of the session, this guy said to me, lovely guy, said, can you recommend a book for me? And I said, oh. So I pulled out four books from different authors and he had a look. And he read the back cover. Oh, he read the next back cover. He read the next back cover. And he said, they're all the same. I can see this message is the same. I said, well done. We're here. We've got there, haven't we? I said, if you read that one of them, you don't like it, read a different author because I'll say it differently. And if you come back to that book in 5 years, you might love it, but right now you're not ready for it. And so, yeah, I read books all the time like you. I've got a library. I don't know if you know or not, but when we had the COVID lockdown started in New Zealand, because we locked down, I'm sure you know that from the news and whatever else has been going on, we went into hibernation. And I love helping people like you do, Tyler. I couldn't figure out how to help people. Like, I could go on Zoom. What am I supposed to do here? Because I don't like not helping. And so, because when my mother said, don't die with your dreams inside you, that became all about me. And then over the years, I've realized, wait a second, that's not right. So I've turned it. And now my whole mission to be on this planet is to make sure people don't die with their dreams inside them. That's my mission in life. That's it. That's my mission. And so it dawned on me one day, and I was walking through the house, that I have bookshelf after bookshelf after bookshelf of wonderful inspiration, uplifting, motivational books. And so, aha, I said to myself, because that's what happens sometimes. Why don't I go online every day, which was a really bold and somewhat crazy statement looking back. I should have said every week, every day, and find something inside one of these books and read it out on the internet for free and people can lock onto it. And so I thought of a lovely acronym. I thought of a thing called SPEED, short, powerful episodes of enthusiasm and determination. And I started reading these books out one at a time online, just a short story, like 2 or 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we're up to episode 93. So 93 days, this takes like an hour to 2 hours a day to do. 93 days of this now. And I halfway through, I thought, what have I done? Why didn't I say once a week or once a month? This is a big commitment after work or, you know, late at night to do. Right. And then people started writing to me saying, popping up on Facebook or private messages. One lady wrote to me, and I thought, after she wrote, I'm never going to stop doing this. That's a bold statement, never, but in my plan. She wrote to me and she said, I don't know who the hell you are, but your SPEED popped up at a time for me when there was no hope. Mm-hmm. And I went, how can you stop ever producing this? So it's on Facebook. I'm doing a bit of self-promotion here now, but it might help somebody, might help your students. Sure. It's on Facebook. If you go to @DIY Motivate, then you'll find motivational books and things that, you know, this thing which is mine. And on there every day, there's a SPEED episode for 2 to 3 minutes. It's on YouTube. It's on LinkedIn. It's on Spotify. It's on Instagram. It's blooming everywhere, which is why it takes so long to do. So that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to get the books that I love that you asked about at the beginning onto the internet in 2 or 3 minute bursts for people to start their day and not feel depressed as they start.
That's fantastic.
Now, is that a good answer? Was that a long enough answer for you?
It's fantastic. Before we wrap up here, I want to touch on one thing that you've kind of hinted around. You started out in the IT industry, and now you're doing a lot of things. You've written a book, you do speaking, and you go around and help people. And the way I see that is moving from working for yourself to now creating a legacy. How can you help other people? How can you unlock the learning for other people? And this happens for most people at some point in their lives, where they transition from it being about themselves to how am I going to be remembered? How am I going to help people in the long term? I don't know exactly how to say this question. How did you get from making money, having a job, to that kind of light bulb moment where you're like, okay, now it's about how I serve other people? Tell me about that process for you. How did that come about?
Right. Let's think about how to answer that question. As you know, it could well be a long answer. So in this process of becoming an entrepreneur, because I think it is an entrepreneurial activity to do what we do.
Sure.
You know, I know that you still teach and so do I, but what you're doing right now is the time that you're giving up from your family and from your time out to help other people. You're doing exactly that, Tyler. And so, you know, having looked at what you've done, you've transitioned, and some along the line, you also lost a whole bunch of weight. I saw your photographs before and after. That was an astonishing result. Holy moly, that's incredible, isn't it?
Thank you.
You must feel fantastic about that. So, how do I get the transition? Along the way through this process, there have been some huge catastrophes that have occurred. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone has these things in their life that go on. And I think they have been life-changing moments for me. Certainly the mother dying, my lovely Mary dying, mm-hmm. was a moment of shift. It was a moment of shift from I'm an IT and I'm chasing my career and I'm successful and I'm now the manager and I've got a company car and a superannuation policy and a gym membership or whatever I had.
Right.
To wait a second here. People die and my mother just died. Not only did she just die, she suggested to me that she hadn't died entirely happy with her life. That's what I took from it. And I found the book. So it also showed me she was looking for something else. And that her son might be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that transition point, I think that was a major split at that point. The split was really significant. Like I jumped. In truth, what actually happened was that I was the IT manager. She died. It blew me apart. A few weeks later from that, like when we cleaned out the house and I got the book, a few weeks later after that, I had to fly on an international flight upstairs on a jumbo because I was super duper successful. Upstairs on a jumbo. It's amazing. We go on a jumbo when we're young and super successful. Like it's 10 o'clock in the morning, you get on board, you go upstairs in the way to the lounge. And it's 10 in the morning, they say, would you like a champagne? And you say, yes. Why would you say yes at 10 in the morning on a business day to have a champagne? But you do. I don't know why you do. Maybe you do when you're young and silly. I said, sure. So we flew across this meeting. I read Think and Grow Rich, half of it on the way over. I was astonished. What is in this? I read Think and Grow Rich, halfway coming back. I quit my job and started my own business.
Wow.
Now that was radical. That's what you call radical, right?
Right.
My father was extremely upset. He said, you've got a job, you've got a family, you've got a superannuation, you've got insurance, you've got an income. How much are you making now? Nothing. How many clients have you got? None. What are you doing? What are you doing? So for me, that was a big jump. And there's been a number of wonderful successes in that. There's been a lot of money come and a lot of money go. And a lot of people got hurt and some people got loved. And my whole mission on the planet is never to hurt anyone. But along the way of me growing, some people got hurt. So that was a big jump for me. And I think that was a significant change that I never got back from that, really. Once I jumped across the gap, that it was all about jumping across and reading and learning and changing and growing and studying and moving ahead and doing the kind of stuff that you're doing. I can't ask you how you got there because it's your show, but I bet there's a moment in life when you change.
Yeah, I think for me, it's been a little more gradual just because I've always been a teacher. So I've been in the classroom, I've been doing something fulfilling for me all my life. But yeah, you're right. For another day, another story, as far as that goes for me. Well, Keith, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. We'll link to your Facebook speed page, and we'll link to your book. If kids want to connect with you, or if someone wants to hire you to come into their school, where's the best place for them to find you online?
They can just go to publicspeaking.co.nz. That's the best website, and there's a link on there. You can email me and get through to me, or they can just write to me, keith@hardwick.co.nz, but that's too hard to remember. Just go to publicspeaking.co.nz, because everyone knows how to spell public speaking.
Right.
And even though they're terrified of it, and .co.nz, they just go from there. They're welcome to connect on LinkedIn. I welcome this kind of stuff because the more that you do this, mm-hmm. I mean, somebody watching this show may not like me particularly much. They might go, I don't like that guy from New Zealand. He talks too fast. There's something funny about him. I don't know what's going on. That's fine. But the previous guest that you had or the next guest might touch that person in the way that you're intending to. So I think it's great what you're doing, and if I can make a difference and change one person's life, then fantastic. That's what this is all about.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And it's been lovely having you on the show today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Tyler. You have a good day.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Virtual School Assembly. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to virtual assemblies. And leave us a rating and review so we know what you learned and took away from this virtual assembly. Videos and show notes are found at virtualschoolassembly.com. And if you're a school leader and you're looking for a speaker for virtual or traditional in-school assemblies, or if you're looking for some teacher training, I'd love to connect with you to see how I can help. You can check out my website at tylerchristensen.com. Thanks. You are super duper. Let's go out and make the world a better place. Bye-bye.